Net Podcast.
Third Degree, the podcast, is brought to you by our wonderful listeners as we enter our 29th season of coverage of FC Dallas and now the greater pro soccer scene in North Texas. Perhaps you would think about joining us here and give us some support at patreon.com/thirddegree. If you like what we do on the internet, both podcast and website, and our general news coverage of soccer, why don't you join us? patreon.com/thirddegree. Thanks again for your support.
Well, hello there, DFW area soccer curious person. You welcome to episode, look at this, 345 of Third Degree, the podcast. He's back once again. Dan Crook. Howdy, Dan.
Hello. Hello on this sequential occasion.
It is a sequential occasion. I wonder if there's some astronomy to go along with it. Some lining up of stars, possibly.
Some bollocks.
And then your hero, my hero, everybody's hero, editor, founder of ThirdDegree.net, and the original soccer influencer himself, Buzz Carrick. Come in, Buzz.
Peter, what was lined up, I can tell you, looking at the live video feed, is that all three of us got haircuts since the last episode.
That's the symmetry. There you go.
There you go.
There's the alignment. We all got hairdos. Yeah,
Dan definitely did.
I lost a few inches off the bottom of my chin.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got the whole works.
Whacked too.
Haircuts are expensive these days. What does it cost to do haircut and a beard trim?
I don't know. I have friends that are hairdressers.
Oh. Special deals.
So it's
VIP.
Build their website for them in exchange? Is this a trade exchange thing?
No, actually. That's not something that they have.
Well, men, here we are on the 12th of January, the year of our Lord 2026, and the new MLS season is nigh upon us. The guys have gotten together. FC Dallas began training. I got an email from the club with B-roll and photos. I got to see a lot of training kit material. I got a cool picture of the new ball. Other than that, I can't tell you much, so that's why I'm here, guys. Buzz, lay it on me.
Peter, the spring training jersey numbers came out today. Humongous numbers are everything. Huge breaking news.
Sounded very presidential.
Very Trumpian. Huge numbers.
Huge. Everybody says so.
You mean like a bunch of people with high value, like in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s kind of large numbers? Or do you mean the font is big?
No. The value of the important player numbers. You know, like once you get above 20, those are just sort of handed out.
Oh, okay.
These are the good numbers. Like we knew that Benjamin was 6 and we were wondering what happened to Delgado. He got the 8. They're holding that 10 open for the future 10. That's exciting. Johansson, the Swede, got 14. We knew that was probably coming. And then the other one that's kind of interesting is the draft pick, Lewis, their first pick, got 15. Their other picks, Simmons, did not pick
Isaiah Parker number.
The dreaded Isaiah Parker number.
Doomed.
Yeah, so the other one, Simmons, hasn't picked a number yet. And then all the new kids got numbers, you know, in their 20s. Slightly interesting, Jaden Contreras got 20, which is kind of usually a really sought-after number. And he's a 17, 18-year-old kid, and they gave him 20. So anyway, for those of us that are big soccer number nerd guys, that is a fun day for me.
What about goalkeeper?
Nothing changed.
Okay.
Still Claus and Colodi. Obviously, every social media post they put out, the team does, they get bombarded with, announce the Paz sale to, they all think he's going to Indonesia. So they just get bombarded with Indonesia fans. Sell Paz, announce the move. You know, they don't think he's going.
They've given up on the Huntsman.
Yeah. So the only... Apparently, quote unquote, everybody is here in camp, including a bunch of North Texas guys. The only one missing is Johansson, which is not surprising because he probably is working on his visa. And I'm sure, as usual, he'll meet the team in Portugal probably next week, I imagine. So
Benjamin, too, is awaiting his visa. He left.
Oh, is he? Okay. I was thought he was here, but obviously that's another one. And then Giovanni Jesus was in training, so that was kind of interesting for those that are on the 2-year out Giovanni watch.
Garam also did a really nice little breakdown of like who did what, and a big bit on Giovanni and Enzo Newman kind of participating in the warm up before kind of going off to their rehab assignments.
Should I put any? What's the right word? Should I be excited that the new Swede is wearing the number of the greatest Burn player of all time and second greatest Burn player of all time at number 14, Tedek Leonel Alvarez combo?
I thought you were going to ask you should be excited because he was wearing Cruyff's number, but if you want to go with Alvarez, I'm sure.
Screw Cruyff.
It is one of the, it is just about the most important number in FC Dallas Burn club history. So there is, that's huge. So he's been wearing it for most of his career. So it's not a surprise that he asked for that number and was given it. So he's not a central player though. He's a wide player, which is a little different for that number, but you know, hopefully it's indicative of the level he's going to play at. Cause those are some really important players.
Dan, is there a sneakily important number in Luton's history?
Not really, no. The best parts of Luton's history was when it was all 1 through 11 and the players changed every week.
Okay. Well, I guess we got that to look forward to. I saw a still of Paxton doing a drill looking married and healthy.
Yep.
Did you see the B-roll clip? That was...
I did.
Enes Sali, who Buzz would call fat right now.
Yep, fat. Yep, yeah.
Totally he had fat. He had my yeah. face basically before I got my beard trimmed.
I predict he will lose the beep test tomorrow. That he will come in last, or close to last.
Is the beep test tomorrow?
Yeah.
All right.
We're recording this Monday night, and so it's on Tuesday. Yeah.
They fly out Saturday, so they got to get in a hurry.
All right. Well, we're here, man. We got the season is underway officially. If the players are back and wearing all the new training gear and we're getting B-roll and photos and stuff, this is the start of a new season. Season 31, boys. Congratulations.
Or 29 as your perspective changes.
Why?
29 for a third degree.
Oh.
Oh, I thought that was a COVID reference.
No. That'd be 30 and a half.
Yep. I thought it was one of these weird, we've had 31 years, but only 30 seasons or whatever that back and forth is where you try to figure out what anniversary it is. And I was like, wait, you're two seasons behind. Now you've really confused me.
Like that anniversary scarf the team launched for the tornado, where not only did they get the year wrong, they got the decade wrong.
Oh, did you just reveal a new addition to the list?
Yeah, is that on the list? Yeah, that ought to be on the list.
Oh, sure. No. Yeah, we need to
that.
That
needs to go on the list. One, two, do you know what year it would qualify for the list?
It was whenever they did the scarf of the month before the league shut that down. So it was probably like 2015. Yeah, it would have been because it was talking about the tornado launching in 67, but they put 76 instead. And yeah, they really made a balls up of it.
We had the best laid plans of developing a very official and formal submission process for list editions.
Yeah.
And we were going to add it to Buzz's website, but we never got around to that, did we?
No. That's a code level question beyond my capability.
That's a Google form.
No, I wanted something a little more formal with drop down boxes. Like I really wanted it to be a pain in Google the ass form. To do it. No, I wanted I had like written code and stuff, but it didn't work in the Buzz's website. We were going to rewrite it. You don't remember this. You were in the middle of four projects.
I do. Yeah, we can do it at some point.
Okay. I just think it would be awesome if somebody had an idea to submit something for the list. They had to go through a formal process. In fact, I may even elect to include that you've got to pay a $10 entry fee. And if your submission is accepted because it is quality enough, we will then give you your money back plus some.
That's a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, kind of could be, couldn't it?
Sponsored by Advocate.
All right. Well, anyway, if anybody does have a submission in the meantime, just feel to shoot it at me and we'll think about it. We'll ponder it and put it to a pod vote. But we'll demonstrate that now. Does the scarf qualify for an entry on the list? Who votes? Yay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We got a new entry to the list. Congratulations, everybody. Democracy at work.
Progress.
Dan, can you write up the details for that for me so I can get that added?
Yeah, I'm looking up now, actually.
All right.
Oh, it's 2014. Wow.
Wow. Okay. Yes. Well, I'll need a photo of said scarf too, sir.
Ooh, yeah.
If it exists. All right. Well, Buzz, anything else about the team in particular that you wanted to get through in terms of training? I know there's other news that have come in terms of staff and stuff, but I'm just curious if anything in terms of the roster or...
Not the roster. I mean...
You got a name who they're going to buy at 10?
Oh, no, I don't. I've been trying. I got nothing.
Slacker.
I'm not buggered. I got nothing. I got no game.
You're older than him. Like, you're old enough to be Tom Bogart's dad. So you you should be better at this than him.
I probably scouted him in college and gave him a ranking in the super draft. Probably did that.
Okay.
The only thing is just the preseason schedule. That's sort of campish. We talked about that. I was surprised by the number of teams I looked at today. And I didn't go through the whole league, but I dialed up like five or six different teams that were all playing in this, Copa Tejano thing or whatever that Dynamo and Dallas are doing without Austin, which I think is funny. And all those teams are playing just domestic. Like, very few people are going, as near as I could tell, overseas. There's a thing happening in California with a bunch of teams, and we know RSL is going to be over there in Portugal, but really a lot of teams are just doing all domestic things. So I actually really like, and I've always said this, I really like when they go play some international teams, because you play teams of a different style in a different league, an unknown tactic, an unknown set of players. You don't know what you're going to get. And so it sort of stretches the brain a little bit, the soccer brain, to throw guys out there and say, just react to what happens, and I like that. I think that's a good thing. So I'm glad that they're still going overseas like this and playing a couple of games against, non-MLS teams. I think it's important. I think it's good. So I still give them credit for that. And then of the three games they have when they come back, two of them are open to season ticket holders. So hopefully we'll get a stream or something too. So just one game private, and that's the Dynamo game, which that might be about Dynamo winning it private more than it might be FC Dallas. But anyway, I think it's a pretty good schedule, pretty good spring training schedule.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch. Hopefully we'll get more information on who potentially is, lining up video streams for us to watch any of this stuff. It'll be
great.
Fun
and hopefully we'll see the number 10 that they're after show up in Portugal, because you can do that with, before the window doesn't even open until January 23rd. So don't panic that they don't have one yet,
But the window also doesn't close until when?
March 26th.
Yeah. So yeah. We could be a month into the season before they even get around to getting this person.
I had a little moment of like, oh my gosh, when Zanata the other day specifically mentioned that we have till late March. I was like, what? I mean, he's right. They do. But obviously you'd like them to get in, before camp ends. You'd like to get a little preseason work in with that person. So, if they get him in close to the front of the January 23rd deadline, they would have about a month before their first game. So that'd be great. I'm not going to hold my breath that they're going to get the guy for a whole month. But hopefully something happens pretty soon, considering that I got told back in early December that I would like who it was. I'm like, well, they must know who it is. And it must have been sort of done ish in a sense. So I don't know why we haven't seen an announcement, but maybe it's just, the current team he's with doesn't want to do it yet or something, or maybe there's an I to be dotted or a T to be crossed and then get it over the line. So hopefully it's a good signing.
There was news, obviously somewhat, ever so slightly Dallas connected, that Mikey Varas, I guess did he accidentally leak this news, or did he announce it officially that Chucky Lozano was out in San Diego?
I don't know whether somebody asked him about it, but he was standing up talking to media about it. So it either got out and they asked him, or he just talked about it openly.
Hmm.
And they said it's a soccer decision, playing time versus money, basically. So.
Well, you put on the famous crayon red run sheet.
I did.
The question if Dallas should go for a Chucky Lozano.
Well, people keep asking me that. And I think, a lot of it is still the attraction of the name. He is 30, which I don't hate 30, but I don't like 30 either. You have to ask yourself, what's the talent level look like? Is he declining? you know, I don't think he plays much 10. But then Zanata the other day was talking about an attacking player that was aggressive and ran at people and could go outside and then come back in and could play like a false wing. And well, that is a little more like Chucky or Chucky or whatever they like saying it's Chucky Lozano. So, you know, it's the kind of signing that Dallas likes to do because you know him, you know the quantity from he's in the league, you know, so you saw him in person, you know.
Yeah,
Dallas
but
likes that crap.
Yeah, but isn't this not too dissimilar to the Acosta story where he fell apart exactly, with his previous team?
It's exactly like the Acosta story, which is why it's very FC Dallas to try it, you know.
Right.
I don't think it's a great idea, but people keep asking me about it, so I thought it was worth a discussion point. You know, I'm not a huge fan of it. I'd like somebody a little bit younger. I'd like somebody a little more like a real 10 and not quite so much a false wing. You know, I might be willing to entertain it if it's the right guy for the locker room too. Cole's got a pretty tight locker room. I don't want a guy in there who's going to rock the boat too much. You know, like an Alex and Dejas coming back would appeal to me a lot more than Tucky Lozano would.
Well, I'll throw the other one out. And I think I mentioned this last week, but since then, Sports Illustrated wrote an article yesterday writing up the further news about Weston McKennie's situation and the likelihood of him coming back to Major League Soccer, and included what this author thought were the top three likely landing spots. And obviously, I was more than annoyed to find out that Dallas wasn't number one on the list, but wasn't on the list at all. He had Cincinnati, he had Kansas City at three, Cincinnati at two, and Chicago at number one. I'm going to say it again. If Weston McKennie is coming back to the United States to play soccer, and assuming he wants to play in his hometown, I say all of this with the caveat that I get it, that there are athletes that do not want to play in their hometowns, and that's fine. That would be the caveat. But there is no other acceptable excuse for him not playing in Dallas in Major League if he comes back to Major League Soccer other than that. Period. The end.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think, you know, there's a certain amount of, I'm not going to call it duty, but like, you know, when you have a player that's, you know, the best player from your academy period in the story, you know, you owe it to your fans, you owe it to your club to try and bring that guy back home. You know, I would imagine Dallas has left off such a list because they're not one to spend a lot of money on a European guy, you know, a guy playing in Europe who's, you know, not getting it done with his, I'm not saying he's not getting it done. I'm saying that his team perceives him as not getting him done and is letting him leave. And he's kind of quote unquote falling backwards a little bit. You know, that's a Toronto FC kind of thing. That's a Chicago kind of thing. It's not something FC Dallas really does, but I think because it's Weston, Dan, I think it changes the equation, doesn't it? You would think
it should. They've obviously made an effort to bring him home at times, along with a few of the other players. So yeah, I mean, if they're going to throw money around, that's gotta be it.
You know, I tweeted the article and made my case about it, and the most of the comments to it are like, "Oh, the Hunts will never spend that much money," or "There's no chance Dallas is ever going to be on that list." And it's like, no, stop, time out. The point I'm making is exactly what Buzz says. This is it's so significant and would be so meaningful to the fan base to have a homegrown return, the prodigal son, come back to the club, that the Hunch should shed any existing self-imposed blockades on these types of things and get the deal done. It's not, you know, yes, it's a money thing in terms of MLS money, but it's not a money thing for the Hunts. If they got to pay Weston $4.5 million a year to get the deal done, pay him $4.5 million a year to get the deal done.
Well, what window, Peter, is it that they're thinking this might happen? Is it
I don't know. Summer? I mean, I suspect it won't happen until after the World Cup. I would be shocked if he leaves Juventus now. I think his deal expires at the end of this coming season. So, you know, if Weston has a unbelievable run in the World Cup, you know, I'm not saying the U.S. makes it to the semifinals or something, but if Weston just continues to play really well, and by the way, he's playing very well for Juventus. He scored again today. I mean, it's just, it would be absolutely soul crushing to find out that the Hunts didn't go out and make the case for him to come here. Now, again, I'm going to repeat, he has to want to be here.
Of course.
If he wants to go to Chicago instead, or he wants to live in LA or whatever, fine, whatever. There's your excuse. But if Weston looks in a camera and says, yeah, I'd love to play at home, I just need the right deal, get the fucking deal done.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that's a player, too, that you don't worry about your system or worry about your roster. Like, you figure out how to make it happen. Like, if you've signed a 10 and then he becomes available, you figure out how to cut.
Sell people. Move
them. Yeah, you get rid of U-22s. You loan them out. Yes. You open up that third DP spot. Or if you don't, you know, you change your tactic. If you got a full swing instead of a 10, well, you flip it around and play a 4-3-3 and play with the double eight system with him and whether it be him and Kappas or him and Paxton together. I mean, there's so many ways that, like, he would elevate your midfield in so many ways. You don't need to use him out of position. You just alter what you're doing to accommodate a player of that stature. Because it's not like he's not 35.
No.
He's prime of his career.
But Buzz, I'd argue he could play that position for you as a 10 if you wanted to.
He probably could. Like, both he and Paxton, for example, are both great free eights. Delgado, whatever. Those guys, that's exactly what they talked about, was an eight, you know, a guy that can play back there that can get into the box and get forward. You know, Weston loves that trailing run into the box. We see it all the time. So, like, he's a perfect guy to fit, I think, would fit great in a Quill system, you know, in the middle. Like, Quill asks guys to be vertical and up and down, but that's outside. In the middle, he likes guys that are warriors, that'll fight, you know, and bang, and Weston will do that. You know he'll do that. So I think it's a great fit, you know. If he would have to be up for it, though. It can't be like, you can't like talk him into it. He'd have to be like, hey, I want to come there. You'd be like, yo, let's get it done.
100%. And yeah. I know that they've got the additional burden of the financial situation with the stadium construction and the money outlay for that. I don't care. There is zero acceptable excuses, assuming Weston would be happy. He would be happy to join the team.
Yeah. Let's say you're opening your stadium. You're doubling the size of your stadium from its current under construction, 11,000. You're going back up to 22. You maybe have a price jump. He'd be a perfect name to help that all just pop.
He'd be your Messi.
Yeah. Yeah, he would be. Yep.
I mean, that sounds ridiculous. I get it. But my analogy is that having Weston in your brand new reconstituted stadium is a big deal.
Yeah, it's not exactly the parallel, but he'd be Dirk to the Mavericks. You know, he'd be, you know, Aikman or Emmett to the Cowboys.
He'd be a media hit in this town. He would get so much attention. The kids love him. He would be such a draw.
We've always talked about DP signings for the Hunts can be a little tough because of the money, and not everybody has that extra off-field juice. Weston would, and that would really make it worthwhile to them, I think, to do it. You know, we'll spend their money for him.
I know there's a faction of people out there sour on the idea of Weston not finding a European club to go to, but the reality is he stands to make a lot more money returning home to play in an MLS club. It'll be past this World Cup, and, you know, the odds of Weston being on the next World Cup team, you know, starts to get a little questionable. So, I mean, this may be his shot for his one big deal. You know, and I think I've read somewhere that he's got some sort of family or personal reason for him considering coming back to the United States. So, maybe I'm secretly hoping he's got a sick relative up in Little Elm that he wants to be close by to all the time. Not that I'm purposely wishing illness on a Weston McKennie family member, but, you know, we got to get some shit done around here.
Dude. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. I knew what you meant.
I said it last week. I said it on the radio show, and I'll repeat it a third time. If they sign Weston McKennie, I will return to purchasing season tickets. I will give the Hunts my money again.
Well, you know they're planning for it because they just hired a nutritionist for the first team. So getting ready for
Yes. Well, Peter, are you sure you'd want him near the barbecue joints? Jokes came back at me too. So maybe that is the secret connector right there. The connect the dots. They hired a nutritionist.
First step.
Yes, today Dallas did announce that they hired a nutritionist, a team nutritionist. Is this the first time Dallas has ever had a team nutritionist?
Pretty sure. I'm like 99% sure. Certainly it's the first time they've had one assigned to the first team. So like, yeah, I mean, I don't remember this ever being a thing before. Previously,
she's got a swanky resume too, by the way. She's got a master's degree and done a bunch of stuff. So
I assume Quill knows her from when he was a coach at U of H. He was an assistant. That's where he met his wife, in fact, if you remember correctly.
Well, congratulations to her. And then they also hired a new assistant coach. They pulled the guy over, Mark Briggs, from Birmingham and USL.
Yeah, if you remember, he was coaching Sacramento when they made that Open Cup run to the final as a second division team. Is the first team since like 2008 to do that from the second division. So the guy's got some chops, you know.
Did they lose a coach that he's replacing?
Yep, one of their assistants left to join Tata Martino at Atlanta in his second stint there. Yep.
All right. Well, any other Dallas stuff we want to get into?
No, I think that's it. You know, we're just waiting for that 10. The only other question is, do they get a third goalie or not? You know, or are they content to go with Paz Kolodi and then, you know, emergency guy from North Texas if they need it? So that's
Speaking of goalies, did you guys see that Julian Istone was on the bench for Brighton's FA Cup game over the weekend?
Brentford.
Brentford, sorry. God, did I say Brighton? Brentford, sorry. Brentford's backup, yeah.
Yeah, so, that's pretty cool.
He's getting closer, man.
Might be another story on a 6-7 keeper later in the show, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good Lord, they're growing them in fields around here.
Yeah, they apparently.
All right, real quick. Are we more excited about this new upcoming home kit or the announcement of a 10?
A 10 in the home kit.
10. For sure.
Dan wins.
Dan is very intrigued by the two colors of blue on the team jacket this year that's been showing up in all the media.
Oh, it's just the goalkeeper stuff.
The royal blue and the black?
There's a second shade of blue on some of the jackets that are.
What I try to do is have the keepers in a different color. So the last few years they've had a blue training top as opposed to like the gray ones. And that's extended to the jackets.
Okay. All right.
Let's try to make a story there.
So what is the latest on the mock-up, Danny?
I mean, it's there. I don't have.
Will you show it? Hey, I got an idea. Right here on this video stream. We don't put the video stream out for public consumption. Just hold it up and show Buzz and I your current mock-up of the shirt.
Yeah, I'll just hold up one of my monitors to the camera.
Turn the camera to the monitor.
Just put it in the chat.
Dicking around.
He's not going to pick up his monitor. Come on.
No, his camera. Move his camera. He can turn his camera around and face it at the monitor, can he?
I don't know.
It's kind of in a fixed position. Somewhere. Oh,
all right.
Yeah, his is not all.
Oh, Jesus, that's chaotic.
Okay, I'm going to barf.
I'm trying to show you the... There you go.
That was Inception, Dan. Dan just was looking at a bunch of video feedback of his face.
Yeah.
Horrified. Truly all right. Horrified.
I guess we're not going to get to see it. Whatever.
Okay. Nah, I mean, there's a couple ideas I'm thinking, but... I mean, there's a reason it normally comes towards the end of January, right? Or the middle of, you know, into February. We start to get those little hints. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm just trying to be encouraging.
But there's a few jerseys out there if you want to see some of the stuff around MLS. And some good, some not so good.
Yeah.
The St. Louis one is terrible.
It's not the worst one I've seen.
I don't know if I've seen the St. Louis one. I saw the Charlotte one, the Charlotte kit in the Discord.
Charlotte was nice.
What was the other one that we
saw?
St.
Louis is in the Discord.
Is it? Hold on, I'm going to look. Red Bulls has been leaked.
Red Bulls looks like a volcano.
Revolutions was out.
Yeah. Columbus, theirs got leaked like a month or two ago. Actually, the official pictures of it from media day, there's some stuff like LAFC is now going to gold shorts instead of black.
All right, let's move on. I think we've done all the football club Dallas ranting we're going to do today.
I mean, until we get some games or a signed player again, it's like we're kind of just waiting. So,
all right, Trinity, they're getting ready to be back at action.
Yeah, well, it's a little late, but they finally announced the December player of the month, and it was Chioma.
So unstable.
Go, yeah. They finally got that out. Their office will be closed or whatever. So good for her. There was a couple other Trinity players on the team, but that's the one that matters. Player of the month for the whole league. Pretty exciting. 33 years old. She's still producing. Terrific player. I've been asking around a little bit because we've been talking about for a whole fall season, you know, are they getting a coach? Are they getting a not? We've been talking about the kind of players we think they want to sign. And so, like, vibes are starting to finally come in that maybe they're really close on a coach. We're going to see. Hopefully the next week or two, because they've started training this week for their game in 2 weeks, basically, is when they start. And I'm also hearing some chatter on some players, and it kind of is I don't have anything I can report officially, but it sounds like it's lining up like we talked about, like up the middle, up the spine, little center back, little central midfield. You know, so they're going to be some activity in the next week or two as they ramp up for their start of the season, picking up back on, it's 2 weeks from this weekend, so just less than 2 weeks now. So about to get some action on Trinity, and I think it's going to be, you know, if these signings pay off like I think they will, because they're in really important positions. The center back will allow Amber Wisner to move back to midfield, get a little extra heft in midfield in terms of being able to play a transitional game with perhaps a central midfielder coming in. So they did lose Bolt, so they got to figure out how to replace her a little bit. Probably moving Thornton back up to the nine, and then. But overall, they got plenty of talent. They should have a good second half.
I know they've got the friendly against Houston coming up. When does the actual second half of the season start back up again?
In 2 weeks. They have on the 31st, they play Brooklyn. And then the Dash, where is that game? That game is at the Cotton Bowl. Yep.
Okay.
4:00 on Saturday the 31st. And then the Dash game is actually a couple weeks later. It's actually not... you know, it's more, that's probably more.
I thought it was before the start of the spring season.
No, okay. I think it's like, it's in later in February. Cause it's really more about the Dash needing games than it is, right. You know, Trinity is technically mid season. So, you know, I'd be surprised if Trinity doesn't have a scrimmage, over the next weekend or two. But that we just aren't going to know about, but the Dash game is a big official fancy one. So that'll be, so I guess I lied in terms of my counting. It's more like 3 weeks to the official Trinity kickoff on the 31st. I got a little aggressive in my weekending.
Very good. Okay, going back to something Buzz mentioned earlier, previewed, North Texas is not in too much action, but they did sign a goalkeeper themselves.
Yeah, a bunch of their kids are in first team training, but they signed a 16-year-old keeper from Austin FC. He left Austin FC last summer and put out that he was looking for a team. He's from Vegas. So he stayed out of play this whole last fall part of the season. And now FC Dallas has decided that they are willing to sign a 16-year-old, 17-year-old kid who's basically going to be a paid academy player. They did it with Isaiah Kakush. They did it with Arena Reja, both from the US U-17 team. This guy's got some U-17 camps, 6'7 goalkeeper. They probably saw 6'7 and said, we can't make that mistake again, so we're grabbing this one and actually signing him this time. So I don't think you'll see him a lot with North Texas right now because, again, he is 16. So he's mostly going to be a paid academy player for a year or two. But still important to note, a nice signing, stolen from Austin FC in a way, roundabout way. So,
do we know what the deal between him and Austin was?
Do not know. I know he posted back in June that he was leaving. Somebody pointed out to me that he was leaving. And then back in December, after he sat out for like 5 months, he posted a picture of himself in an FC Dallas jersey or kit of some kind. And I was like, oh, maybe this guy's going to sign. And then a month later he signs.
So there's no rule, ownership rules or whatever within the league that would prevent him from coming here after?
There can be. If he's still on Austin's books, you can't just take him. He has to be So like, I don't know enough details to know if his sitting out for 6 months and going home to Vegas changed that equation. Cause at that point you get things involved, like where do his parents live? Like if his parents moved here, then he's free and he can just join the academy, but that's not what he did. He signed with North Texas, but there's no talk of any homegrown rights or anything like that. So like a lot of these academy things get a little bit murky, and unless you know his parents or somebody in like Hayden will tell you, or Zanata will tell us, it's really hard to know if they paid any money from Austin to get him or not, because there is a fee. If you take a kid from their academy to your academy, you do have to pay. I don't remember how much it is. It changes. It varies depending on the player, but so it's possible they did that. Unlike the other two guys that I had mentioned, FC Dallas has not traded for any homegrown rights here. So I don't know what that status is. He may end up being more like Diego Garcia, who played for the FC Dallas Academy for a year or two. And then while he was under contract for North Texas, and they were like, oh, now you can be a homegrown. So this may work more like that. We'll find out in a year or two when his North Texas deal runs out, and whether they're ready to give him a homegrown deal or whatever. But, you know, it's a guy in the U.S. national team pool. It's worth noting that they've managed to get this kid in.
Yeah.
So, right. And for them to pay him means they must think enough of him to pay him for a couple of years as an academy player. So that's something.
Paying kids to play is all the rage.
16 years old, man. Yeah.
Goodness gracious. All right. There's that. Atletico Dallas had a really interesting announcement this week pertaining a deal with putting their headquarters across the street from the venue that we have previously talked about in Deep Ellum. They're being very specific and calling it Expo Park. Although I didn't know where Expo Park was before this. Yeah. I actually asked several people that have lived here for a very long time where Expo Park was, and nobody knew where Expo Park was.
Yeah, it's basically, Peter, you can correct me if I'm wrong here. Isn't it kind of near where Gate 2 and 3 are on the west side of?
No, it's a little further away from Fort Fair Park than that. It's essentially... Okay. There's a point at the far east end of Deep Ellum where all the roads kind of come together. There was originally a volleyball court set up over there. I think now it's a surfing place. I believe the city futsal facility is somewhere in that general vicinity. And it's essentially the easternmost portion of Deep Ellum before it turns into Fair Park. How about that?
Oh, I see. I was thinking it was a little more.
Double wide is considered to be, and the music venue, I think, is considered to be an Expo Park. It's kind of that area.
Well, that's vaguely near where kind of Gate 2 and Gate 3 are, vaguely.
I mean, it's a 10-minute walk.
Yeah.
So it would not be that far from the train stop by Fair Park or anything. I mean, it's going to be a walk. I mean, you know, it's interesting that they're doing this because, again, this gets into this idea of like trying to make it a destination. I'm curious to find out if they can build a tradition of getting people to be brave enough to walk between Fair Park and Deep Ellum. I just don't think that's a common thing you do at night. Historically, maybe that's changed a lot, and I haven't done it in a really long time. So maybe it's like a Highland Park neighborhood now or something where it's super safe. Back then you wouldn't have made that walk. So, if they can actually turn that into a thing where you hang out in Expo Park and then you walk over to Fair Park, for the start of the game, that could be really cool.
Well, it looks, you know, looking at my Google Maps real quick, I see lots of things like bars or an ice house, and here's a lofts, and there's definitely some, for lack of a better word, gentrification happening in there. So I could see, you know, walking down Exposition or Commerce Street with a group. I could see that, like march to the game kind of vibe.
Yeah.
If you got a good enough crowd, I could buy that. Yeah.
So, Dan, do you know all the details about this deal with the city, the grant and everything, and all the requirements and political BS?
Yeah, Atletico actually gave some really, really great background notes with everything about the level of investment that's needed to get the grant. The grant will be $200,000 paid across three installments. It requires Atletico Dallas to invest, I believe it's $1.3 million into improving the building. they have to commit to a minimum wage that's $20 and something, an average wage that I think for full-time employees that hits something like 90,000, but that does include players and staff, players and coaches, I should say. So those kind of higher earners, because $20 wage would get you to like 47 a year. Trying to think what else there was now. There's a couple of things. They have a commitment to partner with Dallas College to try and offer opportunities, and they also have to have a minimum of 20% of the staff, 20% of qualifying hires come from within the city of Dallas or reside in the city of Dallas.
Well, that's a cool development, and it'll be cool that they'll have the headquarters on one side of the street and the club or whatever they're calling it. I don't know what the official name of the venue that they're opening.
The
up,
den.
The den that that has the food, the drink, the play, etc. across the street. All this is it's such fascinating timing that there is this effort, concerted effort to build this thing going on. At the same time, some of the biggest headlines happening in Dallas is the fact that downtown Dallas is going through one of its weird biorhythms, a low biorhythm, because AT&T is leaving downtown Dallas. And now there's a large concern that other businesses may go, you know what, we're out too. And now we're going to be in this weird spot where downtown Dallas is not the destination anymore. So trying to line all the stars up between making this type of thing a destination that people want to come down to, and having downtown and Deep Ellum be at kind of a higher point in its typical cycle that it goes through is just, man, that's so difficult and such a trick. So,
well, they're definitely all in on the city of Dallas now. It'll be interesting to see if they're,
well, they gotta be,
their
right?
marketing tweak is like, we're the team of Dallas, you know?
It's, yeah,
like a little, you know, that other team's FC Frisco.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to seeing how all of the marketing comes together when we are in the 6 months prior to the start of this new USL season, not the USL Premier season, but just the launch of the team, how they get how they do that. I mean, do they make a big deal out of the fact that they're not, you know, there are a Dallas team playing in Dallas, and you know, you don't have to drive up the tollway. I'm just fascinated to know how much shit talking goes on, for lack of a better term.
Well, they probably don't want to go. I would guess they don't want to go head to head, you know, shit talking with FC Dallas. But there might be some hinting that, like, hey, we're actually Dallas. You know,
yeah,
that's a little different than like, you know, you don't want to poke the bear. You know, the Hunts still have billions. They can make your life difficult, you know, just by being the Hunts. You know, they got a lot of juice in Dallas with, you know, between them and Jerry Jones or whatever. You know, there's some power in that, political power in that neck of the woods. So you don't want to poke them. But at the same time, you could have a little fun with it, probably, you know.
Obviously, you know, Atletico's messaging has been that so far. But, you know, what you say, when it gets into marketing efforts as opposed to, you know, people creating sound bites on a podcast or something like that, then you really do need to see that evolution, that kind of maturity of the message and, mm-hmm. and what it becomes.
Yeah, I agree. What are we, like 16 months out or something like that?
Well, they should start their season in the USL Championship should start roughly March
of 2027. Okay.
So that would be less than a year, or right about a year, basically.
Yeah, you know. 14 months out, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah,
exciting
maybe.
Stuff. All right, very good.
I mean, depending on when they do camp, it might, they might move up, you know, with their schedule too, I suppose, possibly, you know. It'd be interesting to watch how USL reacts to MLS's schedule flip. That's a whole talking point for the next whatever as they watch MLS flip, you know.
Well, you know, to finish this up for this episode, the other thing that happened gave me pause to remember that as frustrated and annoyed as I can get with how the Hunts choose to run their business, not my business, but choose to run their business, I then turn and look at the actions of one Houston Dynamo, and I am reminded that at least I'm not having to be a Houston Dynamo fan, because, man, that club caught all the noise in the last 7 days because Glenn Davis announced that he was parting ways with them as their media face of the team, their longtime announcer for radio, and a lot of other stuff he did for them.
TV, yeah.
TV. I mean, Glenn Davis is Houston soccer, period, the end. And then the club put out a statement kind of confirming all of this. And man, the comments were brutal.
Fire. Yeah.
Just brutal. And I don't know. I don't think it's a fixable situation. I don't know the background. I don't know if they decided they couldn't afford him anymore or what the deal is. But it did not come across well for Houston. And again, just to refresh, just a reminder, everything's fine here. We're not Houston.
Yeah. Well, I do want to say a little bit something about Glenn Davis. I've known him from my TV work for a long, long time. I mean, I first worked with him probably like in 97 or 98 even on Major League Soccer. And I've worked with him a lot in the soccer window. That dude is a consummate pro. Absolutely fabulous dude. Great professional. He is very much willing to be critical. He is not a homer. He's balanced.
At 100%.
Fair. Yeah. He will tell you that what you're doing is great. And if you're doing what he thinks you're doing sucks, he will tell you that. And he'll say it on the air. And he's got his weekly radio show down there. He's been doing on the ESPN radio down there for 20 years. I don't know how long it is, a long, long time. And he gets on there and he says what he thinks. And he brings in guests that are critical and he brings in guests that are positive, you know, and he's just a fantastic proponent and seller of the game of soccer in Houston. And it's such a blow, such a bad idea to drop him from your games. Like he was on their TV broadcast for a long time. And then when they went to Apple TV, half the people in the league got cut and he was one of the people that didn't get kept. You know, granted, he's pretty old. He's not a spring chicken. They went with a lot of young dudes and he's not a young dude, but he's a legend and he is so good. And I couldn't believe they didn't keep him. So he was doing the radio bit and he was quite, I don't know if I'll say happily doing the radio bit, but he was still going to keep doing it and doing the radio bit. So at the end of the day, maybe this is money. Maybe they got tired of him being somewhat critical, particularly of their failure in the youth space. So, but the dude has got more street cred than anybody in Houston, and he did not deserve to be just unceremoniously dumped like this, I don't think. So that's my two cents.
Yeah, the whole Dynamo operation, and I don't mean this about the fan base or anything. I feel bad for the Houston fan base that they're having to put up with this ridiculousness, but there's just so many elements to the opportunity that Houston has as a club that they, you know, the location of the stadium, the quality of the stadium, all of that is just kind of that stereotypical dream state that everybody in MLS wanted. And
yeah,
somehow they've managed to muck that up and turn that into everything. It's everything other than it should be. And I don't know how. I don't know how they've screwed that up so badly. And then, you know, parting ways with what is your one true connecting tendon to the soccer community in Houston in Glenn Davis is just silly. That would be some silly ass stuff. So I hope everything works out for Glenn. Like you said, he's probably closer to retirement, but I'm sure he'll be fine. But yuck a doodle. All right. That's probably a good theme. At least we're not Austin or Houston,
right?
FC Dallas.
Yep.
There's you a shirt idea for the new year, Buzz.
At least we're not Houston or Austin.
Right.
Yeah. That's a good one.
You and Dan should design that and put it up on the store. You'll sell a shit ton of them.
Yeah.
It just sounds like a Balzac t-shirt you'd find down the farmer's market.
It does, doesn't it?
Next you to know the what? But he's Jerry made a, Makes Me Drink t-shirt.
Yeah, he sells a lot of those Balzac t-shirts, though, doesn't he?
Oh, they do, yeah.
Yeah, he does, for sure. Okay. Anything else, boys? Am I forgetting anything on the red crayon written run sheet?
I have an update. I've been very quiet because in the background, I've been trying to find this damn scarf that we were talking about, and I found it.
You did find it. Okay.
Yeah. I did. So in 2016, FC Dallas put out a scarf celebrating 50 years of North Texas soccer since 1976. Can you tell me the issue there? They could technically release that this year. It's now 50 years.
It's only 40 years.
Plus, the Dallas Tornado was not founded in 1976. Yeah. It was in 67. So they screwed up two ways.
I remember when that came out. Didn't we message somebody or like you guys got to get rid of that thing? It's all wrong or whatever.
Yeah. Thankfully, although they scrubbed very well, Reddit didn't.
Yeah.
All right.
So we have the entry for the list.
We have an official new entry for the list. I don't think we've added anything to the list. We added something for the very beginning of the 25 season, didn't we? I need to go back and look. And was there anything over the course of the season that needed to be added to that?
It was a pretty clean year.
Yeah, there's nothing on the list from 2025. You know, the only things that really would stand out would be the failure with Lucho Costa and like that going south, but that's not really list worthy. That's just like a signing that didn't work out. That's not the bizarre craziness of, you know, kinds of things that in my opinion go on the list. I think it was a pretty quiet.
So Lucho doesn't qualify as a list addition?
I don't think so.
Maybe the closest thing you could have is I'm Brazilian. I grew up watching Ronaldinho and yeah. Ronaldo.
Promising you could handle a guy and then can't handle a guy. That would be, that, there you go. That's the nomination. Yeah.
Yeah. I, for whatever reason, in the back of my head, something happened at the very beginning of the season that I thought qualified. And I don't remember if it was a ticket sales thing or maybe it had something to do with how they were handling the stadium construction.
They did.
I'm sure I've got it written in a note somewhere. And
well,
I just,
there was a delay with the stadium when they had to change one of the process. It was like a 2 month delay getting started.
That's just a normal construction.
Yeah, that's a construction.
Thing. Yeah. You could argue that they promised World Cup perks with season tickets, and then found out there are no World Cup perks.
Yeah, that's up there. That's close.
That would be a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was something else. I'll think of it. I'll go find it in a note that I had pre-written and just never got around to adding, but I thought there was something. All right. Well, good. At least we've already got something for the I guess it goes in the 2016, you said?
Yes, 2016.
2016's a good one. Just to remind everybody, on the list, 2016 includes, quote, fan favorite Fabian Castillo goes AWOL, taking a flight to Turkey in an attempt to force a sale. Later seen in social media photos having a physical and hanging out with officials from Trabzonspor. He's successful. Hunt has said he rejected a $3.5 million offer from Olympiakos, wanting $10 million. Reports are the final deal was worth only $3 million.
That was full.
Boy, 16's a bad one. Next up, star player Mauro Diaz tears his Achilles in a late league game, ending his season and almost certainly ending the club's run to the first domestic treble. Boy, that may be. Is that the lowest point in FC Dallas history right there?
No, because they won two trophies.
That tear is what keeps them from getting the treble.
Yeah.
That torn Achilles. Well, and probably perhaps Castillo leaving, but. You know, those two, that was a season when there was a potential to win all three.
Oh, wow. How weird. What, Kismet, the last entry for 2016, up-and-coming academy midfielder Weston McKennie passes on signing a pro contract with the club and upon his 18th birthday instead signs in Germany with Schalke. This meant Dallas was left without any compensation for his time in their academy and subsequently spurred the Hunt family into signing homegrown players at a league-leading rate.
Well, that's they were going to do with him what they did with Tanner. What they did with Reggie. They were going to let him go to college. They were going to let Weston go to college. They're like, that's fine. We'll get him later.
Oh, that's right. The Weston entry comes with a bonus. Weston's agent is the same Corey Gibbs who skipped town to Europe in 2005, which was a 2005 entry in the list.
He's still with Corey. Corey was busting people on social media the other day for that reporting about his falling out. The report was that the agent caused a problem with Juve, and now Juve was going to kick Weston out. And Corey was like, I'm the agent. That's a load of shit. That's not happening.
You know, this list is rather remarkable. And I imagine there will be a day somewhere down the road where some notable media celebrity or somebody catches onto this and shares it. And it goes like totally wildly viral. Because it's just so damn special.
So is the list your magnum opus?
It might be.
Yeah, it may be. It may be
forget the radio show.
That's right.
You know, the syndicated tech stuff. It's the list, right?
Yeah, you know, it may be my thing that lasts well beyond me. You know, when I'm gone, long gone.
Yeah.
and I'm a bunch of ashes. The list will live.
My version of that is why numbers matter.
That's right. Yeah.
Which does more traffic than anything else on the site every single week after week after week after week. Just crushes everything.
I don't know. My thing about the English game and why half of it was bullshit seemed to really do weird.
Yeah, that really did. Gangbusters still does. Yeah. Every time somebody watches that movie, they Google it. They read Dan's article. And they're like, walk away mad.
If there's exactly any chance at all, somebody listening to this episode is listening to us going, what in the world are they talking about?
There's a website.
There is a website called Third Degree.
Yeah.
And on there, in the prime features and pages, it says the curious history of FC Dallas Burn, a.k.a. The List. And that is our running list of oddities and cell phones that have occurred to this club from its inception all the way through today. So
it is a bonkers list.
It is the most ridiculous thing bonkers, man. Ever. And somebody, Pablo Morrow, will run across it or somebody's going to find it someday and make it famous. It needs to be famous.
A couple years ago, off-season content was kind of like going back and talking over the history of the team. Maybe the next off-season content can just be a dramatic reading of the list. Dramatic reading.
Special podcast.
That's what I should do. I should release the audiobook version of the list and just read it in my voice.
We know enough people. There could be a full oral history of every entry.
Yeah, that's probably true. We could probably pull that together. Like people involved with that particular entry in their voice.
It'd be fun.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
Big project, but fun.
Yes.
And then there's one of Fabian Castillo. He's just like, I don't know. They told me to get on a plane. I didn't know where I was going.
There will come a time somewhere in the future, sooner than later, that I'm going to have to hand responsibility and ownership of the list over to the next generation.
Right. Yep.
The Five process things. Of deciding who that is going to be like something out of a Asimov novel or something.
You and I are old, man. Dan's got us by a little bit. Maybe Dan could take it over for you for a bit.
I don't think Dan wants that.
I like the dramatic drop then. That was great.
I think I just knocked something over on my desk. Sorry about that. Edit that out, Buzz. All right. Anything else, boys, we want to get into? Is it time to go?
Yeah, weird league thing. So while we're talking about list-worthy stuff, this doesn't apply to FC Dallas, but you may have noticed the MLS ball this year has the coordinates of all every stadium. If you Google the coordinates for the Orlando City Stadium, it takes you to a random business park 10 miles north of the stadium.
It's got a typo in it. I love it.
Oh, it's not a typo. The entire thing is completely incorrect. It's not like one digit. It's there are two digits that are correct.
That's awesome.
There's an entire like three digits of degree in the latitude that's off or so something. Good. Is that the only one that's incorrect?
That's the only one that I think has come up. But
has anybody checked Toyota Stadium?
Well, you've got to have the ball to do it.
Oh, so we haven't seen. We don't know what all the different.
Maybe I guess it'll be when they get back from Portugal, I'll try and get out to practice and like take photos of the board.
I wonder in the photo that's in the B-roll, that there's in the B-roll, if either in the photos or in the B-roll, there's a still of the ball. And I'm wondering if there's a chance Garrett was slick enough to have them focus on Dallas's longitude and latitude.
That'd be cool.
That would be extremely detail-oriented.
Garrett's a thinker, man. Don't put it past my boy. He could be smart. He'd put an Easter egg in there like that. Him or Ryan.
True.
I'll have to go back and look. I was hoping of you guys would go look.
Well, it's not a still, Peter. It's the team training in the background with the ball in the foreground.
Right.
He could have spun it and have the ball facing.
Yeah, the ball's just sitting on the ground. It's not like
the $146 ball. Whatever.
They've always been expensive.
Balls are expensive.
This one's crazy expensive.
Okay, here we go.
Peter, you here for Josh Sargent coming back to Toronto?
Yeah, I saw the news that he told Norwich he didn't want to play in the FA Cup game, and they were all a little pissed off at him for it. So I'm I guess you got to do what you got to do.
Hey, I want to dip out to the worst team in MLS. Cool.
Yeah. At the same time, Antoine Semenyo is putting in, you know, unbelievable shifts for Bournemouth in two games leading up to his transfer for, you know, $70 million to Man City, yet he's playing in the games leading up to that. And Josh Sargent can't muster up a game in the FA Cup for Norwich before he goes back to stupid Toronto. That's a bad look.
That reminds me of the Mauro Diaz, when Mauro Diaz sat out training for a couple of weeks prior to his sale. And I was like, Oscar, where's Mauro? Oh, he's a little hurt, a little banged up, 2 weeks later sold. Oscar.
In fairness, he can just look at somebody and pull something.
Yeah. Well, Oscar was, you know, he knew. He was like, wink, wink, he's hurt. You know, we all knew what was happening, but like he couldn't say anything, you know. No one would talk about it.
Those were weird times for sure. And all right, boys.
Bless him, he made triple his money.
Yep. Yeah, he did.
He did. He did. Very good. All right. Thank you, boys. Dan, good to see you again. Nice hairdo, nice beard trim.
Likewise. We've all had our ears lowered.
We have. Buzz, good to see you, my friend.
Thanks for performing when you're under the weather, man.
Appreciate it. I think you're feeling worse than I am, based on some of the noises you've been making this evening.
Yeah, yeah, this is rough. I apologize. Third Degree, the podcast, is brought to you by our wonderful listeners as we enter our 29th season of coverage of FC Dallas and now the greater pro soccer scene in North Texas. Perhaps you would think about joining us here and give us some support at patreon.com/thirddegree. If you like what we do on the internet, both podcast and website, and our general news coverage of soccer, why don't you join us? patreon.com/thirddegree. Thanks again for your support.
All right. Very good. Well, it's good to see you, boys. And thank you, DFW area soccer curious fans. We appreciate you greatly for listening. And we will be back for another episode next week of Third Degree, the podcast.
Would you like to be on the list?
Third Degree, the Third Degree Net Podcast. Third Degree, the Third Degree Net Podcast. Third Degree, the Third Degree Net Podcast. Third Degree, the Third Degree Net Podcast.